a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he didn't cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliant Energy, powering beyond.
Hey, we have a guest today from Alliant Energy, Wendy, and I just want to open up the show. Ahu, Ho Trunk Graja, Wakunja Hade, Hinga Dena, which means my name is just Distant Thunder, and I'm from the Ho-Chunk Nation. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. We also have Bob Blake on with the Solar Bear today. And we were waiting for Misko, but I think she's not going to make it in today. So I think it's just going to be you and me. What are you going to be talking about today?
I'm going to be talking about altruism.
Oh, that's hard for me to say.
It's hard for me to say, too. Altruism in animals. I have a really fun article.
Wow. Is that being like altruistic or
altruism is, the definition is the belief in or practice of disinterested and selfless concerns for the well-being of others. So like in a human being, that would be somebody who does a lot of good things for people with no idea in their mind that they're going to get repaid in any way. They just do it out of the goodness of their hearts.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Mm-hmm. We saw the president last night, and I couldn't stop but seeing that beautiful skirt that was ribbon skirt that was up in the balcony. Mm-hmm. That young warrior, she is a writer, I guess, mm-hmm. and has education. But we all recognize that
the ribbon skirt. Yeah, as soon as you saw her in the audience, you were like, "Oh my goodness, is that a ribbon skirt?" And we were like, "Yeah, that's a Native American ribbon skirt."
Yeah, and that was Melissa Isaac from Michigan. She's a Sagawan Chip native, and mm-hmm. she was in the audience, which was...
Do you know why she was there?
I don't know. She was invited, and I think probably because she's a journalist, too. Mm. And so people get invited, and they're not always mm-hmm. spotlighted. It's usually a lot fuller up mm-hmm. there pre-COVID. It's pretty full in there, and people, mm-hmm. you know, that know people get in there. But I'm not 100% sure why, but... it's great to have representation.
Oh, absolutely, yes. To see a face like that in that regalia, or it's not really regalia, but her skirt was really cool.
Yeah. It was so cool. I also listened heavily to the Republican response after the president, and are we in an upside-down world?
We live in an upside-down world. I mean, I think President Biden did the best he could to unite us the best he can. We're not going to agree on everything. But, you know, the Republicans stood up a few times, you know, when he said, "I don't want to defund the police. You mm-hmm. know, I want to refund the police. I want to give them money so that they could have more education and more training and, you know, so that they could do their jobs better and they're not, you know, going to be out there running around shooting and they'll get better, you know," and they all stood up for that. There was like a few other things too. So I really feel like no matter what, in some people's eyes, no matter what President Biden does or says, or he gets up in the morning and breathes, they're not going to like it and they're going to say something about it. And that's just the way it is.
Well, we have smart listeners, and we have somebody that posted up here, altruistic is the act of being selfless.
Yeah, yep, selfless.
Mm-hmm. To put the concerns of others before yourself.
That's right.
That's awesome. Yeah. So these animals are going to be...
I'm going to be talking about one specific animal that caught my eye where scientists were surprised that this particular animal conveyed this.
Yeah.
But then I got more interested in just, you know, figuring out, well, what other animals, you know, have this capability. So
it's interesting too, because when we think about that term, you know, personally, I'm thinking about paired dogs, like we had, and I didn't really know what was that term?
Bonded. It's called altruism.
No, I'm talking about our dogs.
Oh, they're a bonded pair. So our two little dogs are bonded. So it's very hard for them to be apart from each other.
And I see not only hard to be apart, but I think in the altruistic way, Wanda really protected Gracie. Mm-hmm. I've seen that and really understood it. Whereas before, I didn't understand the term bonded pair.
Right, yeah. I'm not sure, though, however, that Wanda would give up one of her yummy treats to give it to Gracie because she wanted out of the goodness of her heart. So,
that's right.
Everything but that. I'm not really sure. So I think there's boundaries.
You're right. Everything but that. You're absolutely right. But I have had, you know, when we first got him, I saw one of the cats kind of go after or at least sniff out our poor little Lucy, and Wanda came to the rescue, and
the cat went after Gracie, who is the little kind of frailer little dog that we have, who was the puppy mill breeder dog. I think the cat really wanted to bite her, but Wanda came in her defense and growled and made the cat go away. So maybe that is some
altruistic behavior.
Behavior, yeah, absolutely. Yes, we could see that. But the treats are the treats, and Wanda's not giving up anything no matter what, I don't think. I don't know if, you know, like Wanda would know that, you know, Gracie was starving and that Wanda would share her food. That would be, you know, that would be that type of behavior. You know, I don't know if Wanda would do that, you know.
I don't think she would.
No, I don't think so either. So
it's a battle of the fittest when it comes to the food and the great food that you feed them.
Mm-hmm.
The expensive food.
Well, you know, yeah. So I don't know if that's, you know, if that's part of it.
Well, I guess, you know, that these beans, I guess my point too is that these beans are dogs, you know, are, mm-hmm. that we got from a rescue that were bonded are true beans and have feelings and love each other.
Oh, they do love each other. I know that they do. For instance, when Wanda and I leave, Gracie barks until we get back. So
you don't have to tell me that. You do not have to tell me that. So back to the president, I think there was a couple things that he said last night that caught me. One of them, of course, was the police end that you said, but also there was things that that got big standing ovations, like you said, from both sides, and that's to support our military people.
And
especially with the fire pits that they were going through with the black smoke. I've seen pictures of that, and it's just insane. So that was bipartisan, and also...
Yeah, I wish I would have written them down. I don't really remember. If any of our listeners pop it up on our Facebook page or call in, what's the number?
952-946-6205.
Yeah,
But we have a really smart group of people that follow us on Facebook Live here, so it was awesome to see that. So we're going to take off here, Wen, and we're gonna do a little commercial break here, and then we're going to have Griselda on with Alliant Energy and talking about a few things like how to save energy, especially with the way the costs are right now, and that's really imperative, and we really are going to appreciate her stopping in. Great first segment here.
We pulled it off at the last minute. Who knew?
Yeah. Well, we appreciate everybody listening. This is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. And, you know, we're going to have a lot of swag to sell to support Free Leonard Peltier. And we're going to be talking about that in the next few days. And I just want to throw that out there too, Wendy. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Don't let COVID spoil winter fun for your family. Get a vaccine or booster. COVID-19 vaccines are safe, effective, free for everyone, and are now available for anyone over the age of 5. Booster shots are also recommended for everyone 12 and older if it's been more than 5 months since your previous vaccination. To get more tips, schedule your vaccine, or get tested, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. That's ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, we got Griselda is going to come on here, and she's calling in. We have a little technical difficulty with the StreamYard, so we're going to have her call in. And here she is. Welcome, Griselda Aldrich, Director of Stakeholder Engagement of Align Energy. Thank you so much for coming on.
No, thank you. I was able to see you briefly on my phone, and then it wouldn't let me on. And I always laugh because, right, I'm always tasked with talking about broadband, and then it's always funny when I have broadband issues or someone I know. So hi, everyone.
That's right. I agree 100%. It's crazy. But hey, why don't we talk just a little bit about, introduce yourselves to our crowd, because we're now in Milwaukee and you know, we're on Chicago too. And just tell them a little bit about yourself, and let's get into talking about how we can save some energy.
So congratulations for going to one of my favorite city, Milwaukee. For those of you listening, I'm a Milwaukee native, but transplant to Madison now in this newer role here at Alliance. And at the Alliance Energy, I help lead some of our stakeholder engagement with our rural communities, our customers, and also our tribal communities. So this partnership, Robert, that we have with you, your radio station, is extremely important to us. And so we're just honored and glad that you have us on once a month or as needed to kind of share a little bit of our work and our partnership together.
Absolutely. So talk a little bit about how we, as a person living in an apartment, living in a house, how we can save energy.
You know, it's we're at such a crucial time, right? Because, I mean, who hasn't enjoyed the spring-like weather that we've had this week? And I think this weekend we're going to have 50-degree weather. And I think when we have days where your thermostat is going up, down, up, down, I mean, I think that's where you can see the fluctuations in your energy bill. I think one of the tips I always tell people is try to keep, at least in the winter months, even though we'll have a little bit of warmer weather this coming week and weekend, is always try to set your thermostat at 68, specifically at night too. That's when your body temperature kind of drops or heats. And so I think, you know, kind of like to get restful sleep and kind of keep a consistent thermostat. I think that's one of the great ways to kind of look at your home. And, you know, if possible, I always tell people invest in, you know, one of those energy efficiency thermostats like Nest, right? Because those kind of calibrate how your home is looking at. Changing your light bulbs to LEDs is always a smart way to kind of save some money. And most people don't know this, but washing your clothes in cold water actually saves money as opposed to warm water or hot water. Latina mother will never wash clothes in cold water. She always likes the warm or hot because that gets all the bacteria away.
Yeah, well, I think we only do our sheets in hot weather or hot water, Wendy, but everything else is cold.
Yeah, sheets and towels I do in hot water, but everything else is cold.
Okay, good. So you learned some tips. And, you know, other things, you know, when you're cooking, using your microwave instead of the stove saves money and energy. Making sure when you're using your refrigerator or freezer that you ensure that the kind of the doors stay locked. You know, they sound like simple things, but, you know, they're kind of things that you don't think about as you're just kind of like living in your home. And I think with COVID, right, we've made our office our home and our home is our office, right? We kind of live even more in our home. And I think using natural light whenever possible, right, to kind of make sure that we, you know, kind of invite that vitamin D naturally instead of using our lights. Making sure, like, we unplug things that you're not using. I have a habit, so I will be guilty of this, of leaving just my iPhone charger or all the chargers plugged in, right, and I just kind of slip them on and off as needed. But reminding even myself to kind of take those out of the socket. They suck up energy, and they suck up electricity, and when that bill comes, which we know our gas prices have increased, and electricity bills naturally have also increased with that as well. And let's not even talk about Russia right now, right? That's a whole nother show, right, Robert?
Exactly. Wendy sees how I'm in action here, and I have everything plugged in, so it would be.
And you're really bad about leaving like your office light on, then he'll walk out, sit in the living room, and watch TV. And this is what I say to him. So TMI. But when I was a kid and I lived on Long Island, we had an energy company called Lilco. That was our energy company. And my mother would always go around the house and shut the lights off behind us. What do you think? We own Lilco? What do you think we own Lilco? So that's what I say to Robert. I say that to him. What do you think? We own Lilco? Because the lights are left on. So, I mean, it's just like a habit to get into. I knew somebody who, when they did their grocery shopping, they had they put all their refrigerated stuff in one bag and then opened their refrigerator and put everything away quick and shut the doors instead of like opening it and closing it and opening it and closing it. And I was like, why would you do that? And they said because it's good for the refrigerator and the temperature and energy. So I was like, oh, okay.
Well, Griselda, before Wendy was telling on me, what I was saying is that I have things plugged in, like you were talking about your phone. I have a laptop and things like that that don't need to be trickle charged, I guess. And it's something to really be aware of, like if we have a whole studio here of things that are plugged in and charging that could be really sucking out energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, I also, I'm telling on myself. So, Wendy, you're telling on Robert. I'm just telling on myself all the time. even at night, you know, as you kind of go to bed, I have a habit of plugging in my phone, right, because I want it to charge and be ready for the morning. But two things happen, right? I'm using energy all night for a phone that probably only needs to be charged, you know, 2 hours max. And two, it drains your battery in the long run, too, to kind of keep it plugged in and not let it kind of like die a little bit more. So two helpful tips there for the cell phone and the energy.
Well, one thing Wendy really, really does well is like before we go to bed, she turns the thermostat way down. Mm-hmm. So when I'm waking up, I wake up. I get out of bed.
Yeah, because you're cold.
Right. So that's always a good point, too. And, you know, get those thermostats that can automatically do that.
Mm. Yeah, you could time them. Yeah, program them. Yeah.
You know, and I think it's like I think, Wendy, you said, it's just a habit, right? Like when you leave your home, like turn your lights off or you leave a room, right? Or remember to unplug things as you're not using them. And, you know, other things that just working in the utility industry, I've learned, right? Like when I'm cooking and using the oven, right? Like most people wait until your timer kind of beeps and then you take the food out. But you kind of take it off, you know, 5 to 10 minutes before your time to cook is out, like the food continues to cook without using that extra electricity. So simple things like that is just what I say is like, you know, it sounds easier. It sounds easy, right? And like second nature, but I think it's just the habits that we build over time. I would think the big one for me has been learning to like sleep a bit colder. That's made a huge difference in my sleep, but also like in my bill. So 68 is the magic number.
Yeah, it
that's
really
exactly
is.
What I put it on before I go before we go to bed is 68.
Well, what I like about having you on once a month too is to give us reminders, mm-hmm. And give hopefully give our audience a reminder on how we can shave the bill down and turning it down at 68 degrees, or if you are going to the office now, maybe turning down your thermostat before you go to the mm-hmm. office, things like that.
Yeah, the office thermostat, or you know, even investing in some of those space heaters. I mean, I think that's I've seen a lot of people use those. Those, you know, can help, but you know, can also like save your company energy by just unplugging those when you're not using them, or setting it at a temperature where you can kind of be warm but not extra hot, right?
Yeah, exactly. So let's go over it real quick here. So cold water.
Water for your clothes.
Right. And also me turn off all the lights after myself. Mm-hmm. What else, Wendy?
Remember, the last two nights, I think I forgot to lower the temperature, but I usually am really good at it. And I was laying in bed and upstairs, and I'd have to walk downstairs to, and I was just too tired. I was like, I'm not getting out of bed. But yeah, I usually do 99% of the time, remember. So.
And then unplug things that you aren't using.
Yeah,
because
that's
they
what
suck.
I have to really do.
Yeah. That's one we really have and to think about.
And if possible, invest in some LED light bulbs, right, for your home, because they do save some money. And, you know, if anyone wants, you know, even one of those thermostats, like those Nest, or they don't have to be brand new Nest, right? I think Amazon sells decent ones that help to calibrate your home temperature to kind of, you know, help save some money in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. If you have like drafty doors and things like that, like putting caulking around it and, you know, just kind of covering it up. So,
and those things underneath the door too, for the breeze.
Yeah, I don't know what to that's stop called, that. But yeah.
Like a blanket or something underneath.
Yeah. My mom, she puts blankets on the bottom because there is that cold draft that comes in. It does.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, and then one of the things that I try to do is change the filter. We have forced air, and changing the filter makes a big deal. And I see that everywhere, too, to do that.
Yeah, in your furnace, absolutely. Yeah. You should probably change it every 2 to 3 months.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Well, hey, thank you so much for stopping in and giving us some updates here on how we can save energy and really supporting the BIPOC communities, which you do and Align has been doing, and supporting Native Roots Radio. I really appreciate you and appreciate that.
Thank you all, and hopefully next time I see you, I can see you in person, even if it's through a camera.
Perfect. All right. Well, awesome.
Thanks,
well,
everyone.
Have a great day. And, wow, that was awesome, Wendy.
Yeah, terrific. It's always good to have good reminders about how to save energy and save money. And if everybody just does a little bit, then we save a lot of energy.
Yeah, we do. And quit telling our secrets here about me leaving lights
Never,
on.
Never, I won't.
We got to save energy, and that's part of the deal. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and up next, Bob Blake with Solar Bear and the Solar News.
Stay with us.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
Aho, relatives. My name is George McCauley, Omaha Nation. I'm a citizen of the Omaha Nation in Nebraska, but reside in the Twin Cities area. As we head into wintertime, many of us will be back together indoors. It's important to make sure you receive your COVID booster shot. Those 65 and over are recommended to receive their booster dose. Older Americans are more at risk for complications for COVID-19. So get your booster shot to make sure you stay safe and healthy this winter. All three COVID vaccine boosters have been approved. Find a vaccine site by calling 651-304-9986 or go to this website, vaccineconnector.mn.gov. 651-304-9986 or go to vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
Children's Minnesota raises up children's health by raising the standards, hands, voices, the bar, the stakes, the questions, and the curtain on raising kids' health to the highest priority. With the most pediatric experts in the Upper Midwest, we're setting the stage because kids need us, all of us. So let's raise them up so every kid can reach their best health. Children's Minnesota, the kid experts.
Hi, everybody. I'm Santita Jackson, and I want you and all your friends to join my new show, The Santita Jackson Show, Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 a.m. Central, on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Are you remote workers putting your company at risk? Not sure what steps to take to secure your data? Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. The Rimark team is guiding our clients through these difficult times. In fact, demand has been so high, we created an easy-to-follow guide with the 5 steps to securely work from home. It's yours free. Download our 5 steps to securely work from home now at RimarkIT.com or call 651-328-8900 for a no-cost how-to discussion.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies overnight with a low around 12, Thursday partly sunny with a high near 26, and Friday a mix of rain and snow with a high around 33. Vinaigrette is locally owned and has been offering the finest olive oils and vinegars since 2009. At the store, you can taste a wide variety of oils and vinegars, and if you find something you like, they'll bottle it for you right on the spot. Vinaigrette is located off 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis or at vinaigrettemn.com.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Well, hey, it is a Wednesday, and what do we do on Wednesday, Wendy?
We talk to Bob Blake, the Solar Bear, with the Solar News.
Look at, he's got that big B for Bob Blake. Wow, welcome, Bob.
Is that for the Boston
No.
Baseball?
Does that, Robert, look like the old St. Bernard's hat?
Oh, my God. Yeah, it does.
The Bulldogs, the old St. Bernard Bulldogs.
St. Barnyards, right?
Describe to our audience what kind of hat Robert Blake has on for our listening audience who's not watching.
It's a nice bee. It's like one of those handwritten kind of scripted bees.
On a blue baseball cap.
Right, exactly.
And, hey. And I thought, Robert, to doing the Solar News this week, because so much is happening in the world right now.
Right.
And you know, it just, this was the blue and yellow colors of the Ukrainian flag. And Solar Bear, you know, got to stand in solidarity with, you know, Ukraine and everything that's happening right now. And prayers to all those people and everything that's happening over there right now.
Right. Exactly. Agree 100%. And we talked a little bit earlier about the speech last night, and electric cars were put into Biden's speech last night, making chips, the John Lewis Act for voting, infrastructure, minimum wage, $15, daycare cheaper, more affordable.
Robert, come on, man. I mean, that speech was incredible. I mean, I'm sorry. It's like, it's just what we need right now, what this country needs right now. And I think the world needs right now. And good old Uncle Joe, I think, came through last night. I mean, sure, he made a few slip-ups, but, and you know, I think when I think of Uncle Joe, I think of Bob Seger, for, you know, down by Fire Lake, good old Uncle Joe, you know. But I'm serious, Robert. I think that he did a wonderful job, and I think the country is moving in the right direction. I was really happy to hear him talk about electric vehicles, charging stations, and plus all the jobs that are going to be created, all the good union jobs that will be created in Detroit, with GM, General Motors, Ford, the big three, like really stepping up their game on electric vehicles. And then he talked about bringing manufacturing back to this country, back to these shores, so our supply chain does not get disrupted. And I'm sorry, Robert, but, you know, I'm on board, man. I'm on the wagon again, brother.
Yeah, definitely. And agree. And it's always good to get stuff that's made in this country. And, you know, and it's cheaper and it's better for our economy. And it moves money around within our country.
Well, yeah, and I think, I think what we really did, and this was part of the great experiment, right, was to uplift democracy all around the world. And I think you've seen that, you know, especially in Ukraine right now, the way that they're fighting for their lives and they're fighting for democracy over there. And so I think that the United States has done a great job at exporting democracy. And with that, obviously, comes financial. We uplifted, you know, there's been an uplift of people from poverty all around the world right now because of the export of democracy. But you know what, though, Robert, I think we did it to a point where we sacrificed a lot here at home now. And and so I think that this is a time right now where we have to invest in this country again. We have to invest in our people. We have to invest in our infrastructure, and we have to invest in our communities once again. And I think that I'm bullish on this country's future, and I'm especially bullish on Native America.
Right. And I think one of the key things that we don't always straight out talk about, but we do talk about, is how new energy, solar energy, wind energy, cars is a union thing. And unions, when we were kids, or I should say when I was kids, pre-Reagan, 70% of the country was in a union. And people ask, what happened to the middle class? Well, it's down to like 10%, if that, that are in the union right now, roughly.
And you know what, Robert? You know, I'm on the Minnesota, you know, Governor's Workforce Development Board, and I'm also on the Ramsey County Workforce Innovation Board. And so I get to see firsthand a lot of the statistics that come through around, you know, workforce and what's happening, right, and the trends. And I'm telling you right now that, you know, people, you know, are standing up and they're basically saying, you know, to the corporations and to corporate America, and, you know, like, you know, you need us. We don't need you, you know, and that's going to be a hard pill to swallow for the corporations and for the companies. But we need to start paying, our people, men and women out here, you know, a livable wage. I mean, we're not keeping up with inflation. You know, when you look at what's happening, you know, from a person's pay to 20 years ago, nothing's changed, you know. Right. And so we really, I'm just saying that, you know, it's really exciting where this is all going. And I see a resurgence in unions. I see a resurgence in collective bargaining with our unions, and I'm really excited for the work in person again.
Yeah, me too. I think what we have to acknowledge too is both St. Paul and Minneapolis teachers, maybe they voted to go on strike, and that still might happen. And I think that the paraprofessionals and the people that work with the teachers really need to be uplifted, and they're below poverty level, and they're dealing with our youth and our future. And you know, the teachers are fighting for smaller classrooms, which we all know is an easier vibe to learn in, for sure. And universal health care would change the world right now here in the United States.
Absolutely, Robert. And you know, when you look at, you know, I actually presented to helped present to the school board, St. Paul School Board, a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. And spoke to them about putting solar on 20 school roofs in St. Paul. Right. A megawatt of solar is actually what we did. When you look at the savings that the district could do with that, and you see a lot of school teachers and them supporting of this, and I think that that's one way that, you know, this district, both districts, can start getting their heads wrapped around their budgets, and that is eliminating that energy bill. You know what I mean? Because that ends up being millions of dollars. I mean, right. It's incredible, you know, and that goes right to teacher salaries, after school programs, early childhood development. And that's where we need to think critically and strategically about putting renewable energy on top of our school roofs.
Well, strategically, and of course, I got great ideas, but I've stole them from people, including you. But strategically, to the old days here in the Twin Cities in St. Paul, there was a school called Mechanic Arts, and that closed when I started my high school career. And basically, it was a school to it really focused on trades. So you would have high-end trades there, learning how to do trades in high school. Why can't we teach our kids how to make solar panels? Why can't we do things like that, get the community involved, solar farms, and then get them on the roofs of these schools? I mean, why aren't we, our school districts, thinking outside the box?
You know, and that's another thing too, Robert. I mean, you know, statistics are showing us that we're losing our kids by 16 years old. We are losing our kids. You know, they're starting to think about other things. They're getting caught up with TikTok. I don't know. You know what I mean? But, you know, so, I mean, we really have to start reaching these kids a lot earlier. And like you said, schools like the Mechanic Arts, you know, teaching those trades, getting people interested at an early age, employers, private employers stepping up and having those like on the job training, places for them to go, you know, so they go half a day at school, then they spend the other half a day maybe in a workplace. You know what I mean? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those are the kind of partnerships that I think the state employers and school districts need to start getting creative with. And they're actually, Robert, there are a couple of those programs actually happening out in rural areas right now, and they're proven to be very successful.
Yeah, I believe that. I totally believe that, Wendy. We got to get kids excited about their future and let them find their way. And I think what I read somewhere is that these kids now, I don't even know what they're called anymore. I lost track after millennials. But these kids now will have like 6 careers before the end of their working time because of everything changing so much.
Yeah, it's kind of like early intervention. Like Misko was talking yesterday about, like, she was very much involved in the, you know, the Native American community, and her dancing and learning the language on an early age, and she's 20 years old, and it's really kept her on track to be doing good things and wanting to do more better things in the future. So getting the kids involved really early in doing lots of really good, fun stuff.
Exactly. And I don't know, as an educator, Wendy and Bob, I also think that there is – there has to be a door open where we can have our late bloomers come back too, that have really figured out, and maybe they've had some trauma at home, or maybe they just don't like school, and to be able to come back to education and learn what's and learn what they want to learn, even if it's in their 20s.
Yeah, absolutely. I know the Science Museum of Minnesota has got a really good program for younger adults, 24 up to 24 years old, that they're kind of doing something similar to that, Robert. So I encourage people to look into the Science Museum of Minnesota and see they got a pretty good program going on over there.
Yeah, definitely. Well, hey, thanks for stopping in. It's incredible what you do, and keep on keeping, and speaking your truth, Bob. We really appreciate you being on Native Roots Radio.
Oh, miigwech, Robert. Miigwech, Wendy. You guys have a good night. Thank you.
Hi, Zuoni. Hey, that was Bob Blake of Solar Bear with the Solar News. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
All right. Well, hey, this is our sacred animal section, and this is where we get a lot of information from Wendy. Wendy, introduce yourself as you do.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them, and I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. As always, Curtis, thank you for that name. Curtis also goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I am a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. And I get the pleasure to talk about animals at least 4 days a week. Well, that's a lot of fun. And we were just talking, Robert, you and I, last night about the howling and that if our dogs howled. So we have a Shih Tzu. Oh. Well, we have a deaf dog, too, a Maltese, so she can't howl. But
Sure bark.
We had to look up the Shih Tzu because she does not. She doesn't howl with us when we howl. We had two chihuahuas for years, Mickey and Pancho. We had them for 16 years, and they howled anytime we wanted to. Sometimes we would just say, "You want to sing?" And they would start to howl. So that was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so I found this cool article. It is from the Conversation, it's called. It's a .com conversation. You could just look it up. February 21st, 2020 by Dominique Potvin. And she wrote an article about magpies. And magpies are these crow-like birds, and they live in Australia. But they have outwitted scientists by helping each other remove tracking devices. So what happened is that these scientists wanted to learn more about these very, very intelligent animals. And I think you might have a picture of them, Robert. When we attach tiny backpack-like tracking devices to five Australian magpies for a pilot study, we didn't expect to discover an entirely new social behavior rarely seen in birds. Their goal was to learn more about the movement, the social dynamics of these highly intelligent birds, and to test these new, durable, reusable devices instead. What happened is instead the bird outsmarted the scientists because what they did was they started taking the backpacks off each other because they didn't want the backpacks on each other. So wow. I thought that was, yeah. While we're familiar with magpies being intelligent and social creatures, this was the first instance we knew of that showed this type of seemingly altruistic behavior helping one another and members of their group without getting an immediate tangible reward. So they have this little device. There's a little kind of backpack thing and has like an antenna on it.
There it is.
We have a picture of it on our Facebook page. But the academic scientists were accustomed to experiments going away, you know, going crazy in one way or another, but they never really expected the animals to have this type of behavior and to help one another out to get these things off their backs, which they did not want on their backs. So it really kind of got me thinking about what other animals really have this altruistic behavior and which animals care for each other and will help each other without expecting anything else in return and being pretty selfless. Yeah. Do you have any idea of what animals would have that type of behavior? I have a list here of animals. Some of them I'm really surprised
at,
too.
What about the one, you're going to have to help me, it's not a beaver. Mm-hmm. They hold hands in the water. What was that?
Otters.
Yeah.
That was not one that I found on the internet. It doesn't mean that they're not.
They like to hold water, hands in the water.
Yeah, that's a cute one. Well, elephants. Elephants is really...
definitely.
And orangutans, it kept coming up over and over and over that they were the most... found that has altruistic behavior.
Elephants, we've seen videos where the baby elephant's stuck and the whole tribe of elephants work on it and get them out things like that.
Exactly. And they're not going to get any reward for doing that, but they do it because they genuinely care.
They're altruistic.
Yeah, exactly. A couple of animals that really surprised me that were on the list with really high regards to altruism is vampire bats.
Wow.
Yeah, they've been known to share food with each other, vampire bats. A couple of other ones that really surprised me were some insects. Yeah, they studied insects like earwigs.
I don't know what that is.
An earwig? I'd have to find a picture of it. It's kind of a gross animal that has like lots of, not like the daddy long legs or a centipede, but it's a kind of animal that has lots of legs. Yeah.
Okay.
Earwig. Ants, termites, and bees, which is pretty unbelievable that these little, bugs and insects could really have this type of behavior. Some fish. Bottom feeders, groupers, have been known to have this type of behavior, which is kind of
I believe ants, too, back to the one before that. I was like, I'm not surprised to hear that.
Tell me about your ant experience and why you're not surprised.
Because I used to watch ant hills all the time when I was a little kid, and I think that was part of I think my parents thought I was really slow, but I really liked liked watching that. It was really, really interesting.
Yeah.
With the food, bringing all the food in, and, you know, it was, yeah.
And they shared the food, and they
I'm sure they did, because they brought it into the ant hill, or ant hole, I should say.
Yeah, exactly. yeah, dogs, like we were talking about earlier, dogs definitely do have that behavior, especially when they take care of other animals, right? Dogs have been known to take in baby animals, like a mother dog would take in kittens, baby foxes, tiger cubs, fawns, ducklings, lambs.
What's a koi?
A koi?
K-O-I.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, we have one of our listeners pop that up there.
Tell us what a koi is.
Yeah.
Is that a bird? I don't know.
I don't know either, but Kathleen said, Kathleen said monkey.
Yes, monkeys. That is very high on the list. Monkeys, primates, chimpanzees, orangutans, all those types of animals.
Oh, it's a kind of fish.
Oh, it is. Oh, a koi.
Like a goldfish.
Like a goldfish. Okay.
That's what Rob just said.
I know what a koi is.
Oh, okay.
Don't be so coy.
Oh.
I do know. Some other ones before we run out of time. Octopus.
Yes.
High on the list. Sand grouse. Mm. Ringed seal. South African bullfrog. So I guess other bullfrogs aren't, but South African ones are. Dolphins. Ravens. Crows. Wolves.
Oh,
bonobos.
Wow.
I don't know really what a bonobo is, but they are on the list. And they
say it again, though. I like
bonobos.
Bonobo.
Humpback whales. Red squirrels. So those are some of the animals, and I'm sure there's many, many others on the list that show selflessness. But I thought the story of the magpies was pretty funny. Now the scientists have to go back to their drawing boards and figure out what kind of device they're going to use on these birds.
Oh, man.
So that they won't take it off.
Well, they look really intrusive. They looked really big, like backpacks on them.
Right, with the long antenna. Yeah. I mean
people think that, you know, the COVID vaccine has a little a follower on you. Why don't they pop one of those into the bird? No,
Robert,
I'm just kidding.
Oh my God.
I know, I've lost my mind.
Yeah, so anyway, animals are fantastic and really interesting, and they're just like you and I, have feelings and feel pain and happiness and all those other emotions just like we do.
Exactly. And, you know, let's keep our relatives sacred.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that,
mm-hmm.
and talk about that. So that's really, really important that you talk about this to bring us back to the circle. We're all one.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you're listening. Been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop Line 3.